Welcome those of you who are visiting. I know we already welcomed you once, but I want to go into a little bit more detail on the welcome. And that welcome is that I am the drummer. I am not the preacher. I'm not the pastor. So please come back again to hear Pastor Wes when he returns. You certainly won't be disappointed. And as I normally say, you know, feel free to come back every week, and you never know when the drummer will be up again speaking. And I have a lazy eye, my left eye, so this eye may be looking out here while I'm really looking straight ahead, but just so everybody realizes that as well. All right, we got that out of the way. Let's do our Bible declaration. Actually, after what Serena said, I'm really kind of wondering if there's anything else really left to be said. But I have 12 pages of notes, so I'm going to find something in there to say. And actually, I think there's a lot in there that goes along with what she said, and I'm very hopeful of that. And God's timing is perfect, and God knows exactly what today is all about. So we just want to be part of that. But let's do our Bible declaration. Hold your Bibles high. Say this with me, please. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I'll be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it, and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this message has been brewing since about the first of the year. And it's funny, that's partially why there's probably 12 pages of notes, because I've had way too long to think about it. But for those of you who have been coming, you know that over the last year, I've been when I have the opportunity to speak, that I'm doing a series on things that really impacted me as a new Christian and really helped me in my Christian walk to advance that walk. And today is kind of a continuation of that. And we've talked about a lot of different things. We've talked about worship. We've talked about temptation. We've talked about us corporately getting into the presence of God and the power that's associated with us getting together and worshiping. We've talked about giving. The last week we talked about some of Jesus' miracles and how Jesus said that because he went to the Father and the Holy Spirit came, that we could do even greater things than the things that Jesus did, and looked at Scripture to back that up. You know, this is funny. As I was preparing, I thought about, well, today's a chili cook-off, so we should have visitors here with us. And what kind of a message do you prepare when you have people that are visitors coming in, and how do you make sure that you don't scare them away? Because how many of you know that it can be scary to go to church? Has anybody ever felt like, oh my gosh, it's just kind of scary to go to that place? I remember once a really good friend of mine, after I became a Christian, and I invited him to church, I invite him to come with me, and he's like, Gary, he says, I can't go there. He says, if I sat in a pew, I said, my butt would burn a hole through that pew. And I assured him that it wouldn't, because mine didn't when I sat in the pew. And there was nothing that he could have done that could have been any worse than I did. And that's the truth, is that, you know, everyone here is not that different. It's not that different from folks that are out on the street. You know, we all need God. We all need a Savior. We all need Jesus. And even after we come to that saving grace and after we make that decision that we're going to follow Jesus, we still need Jesus. And today's message really is about how, in many cases, we need Jesus more now than we did then because we've been with him for so long. I told Pastor Wes yesterday that I'm going to step on my toes today. And so I'm preparing you that I'm going to step on my toes today. And if I hit any of your toes, that's a bonus, okay? But how many of you are okay with if today was to step on my toes and be for me? Is that okay? Show of hands. Boy, not. Please. You love me, right? We love the drummer. I want to make sure I don't leave anything out, because the last thing I would want to do and the last thing that God would want to do for anybody that's visiting is to offend them or scare them away. That would be the last thing that any of us would want to do. You know that one of the number one reasons why people that aren't in church don't go to church is because they say, well, the church is full of hypocrites. All right? And the definition of a hypocrite is a pretender. I mean, that's really kind of it, a pretender. So a lot of people that aren't in the church think that the people that are in the church are pretenders. And it's our jobs as Christians and as church attenders not to be pretenders. That we should you know, recognize that we are sinners, that we are saved by grace, that we need God. And that never changes. Again, we don't just say, you know, get on our hands and knees and accept Christ and all of a sudden that's it, we're done. It's a process. And what our goal should be is to continue that process and make progress. And I am really going to go way, way away from all of these notes. So, like I said, this message has been in the works for a long time. At the beginning of the year, April and I had to go on a work trip, and I drug her along with me, and we had to drive 7 hours one way to get to this spot, and we were listening to messages almost the whole way, and finding as we were headed down through Illinois is a long state to drive through, and we were finding different Christian radio stations that we're listening to, and I was getting so upset with some of the messages that I was hearing. And I started to tuck some of those away and saying, you know, someday I gotta speak about that. And looking at scriptures that they were using and the way that they twisted it. And I think one of the messages I did not that long ago was one of those too, where it was kind of showing the truth versus what the radio was talking about. Now I'm kind of talking and should focus. Turn with your Bible, in your Bibles with me please, to James chapter 5. And it'll be up here too, and I'm going to read from the New International Version. And we're going to start in verse 7. So James 5, 7, and we're going to read through 11. Say amen when you're there. Says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because of the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Verse 10, it says, brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Verse 11, as you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Let's pray. God, I really, really, really need your help, Lord, just to speak what you want me to speak. Say exactly what you want said. Father, I pray that all of us, God, again, especially me, would just be receptive to your word today. Father, I pray that we could just take it in and produce change. As God, we know you do what you do, but Lord, there are times when we have to do something as well. Father, have your way in this place. Have your way in each one of us. Let us not just be hearers of your word, but God, let us be doers. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you for the Holy Spirit in this place. God, and I pray that we would just be changed by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the title of today's message, which I didn't say, and boy, did I go around and around and around about what the message should be. It started out as, you are what you eat. Another version of it was garbage in, garbage out. And where we landed was standing firm. Standing firm. And the scripture we just read is really about that. It's standing firm in when we're going through trials. Standing firm in persecution, persevering. In verse 7, it says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. Any farmers in here? Any gardeners in here? All right, we got some gardeners. So I will take some time to share a little bit about farming and gardening. I will tell you that when we read that scripture and it says that the farmers are patiently waiting for the rains, it doesn't mean that all they do is look at the sky for the spring and the fall and say, it's going to rain any day now and I'm going to have a crop to take to the harvest. There's things that they have to do. If they're going to expect that harvest. Can I get an amen? Yes. All right. I want to make sure, that's one thing I certainly don't, I want to make sure I don't put anybody to sleep today. So they have to prepare the ground. I'm probably going to miss some steps because, I went to school for ornamental horticulture and landscape gardening, but that was 40 years ago. So I've forgot most of what I learned back then, But first thing we need to do is prepare the ground for the harvest. It's one of the most important things is to make sure that the ground is ready, right? We want to get rid of all the weeds, we want to cultivate it, we want to loosen the soil up, we want to make sure that when the rains do come, that they can be effective. After we've prepared the ground, then we actually have to plant some seed. Now, there's scripture that says that sow, or whatever it is that you sow, that you shall also reap, which means that if you plant corn, you shouldn't expect beans to grow, right? That's right. Beans are not. Unless it's a supernatural garden or a supernatural farm, if you put corn in the ground, corn's going to come up, if it comes up. Then what I have for step three is pray for the rain. Which is good. Now, you also need to need to make sure that you pray that it's the right amount of rain, because too much rain, if you plant too early, all that rain is going to just wash that seed away. That's very possible. There's also, if in Michigan, so I learned a little bit about farming in Michigan. So I work in water and wastewater, and I'm going to use the term fertilizer from the wastewater plants, but fertilizer is taken from the wastewater plants and applied on farm fields for crops that are used for animals, not for human consumption, for animals to eat. And there's a very short window in Michigan from the time that the rains come and from the time that the farmers prepare the soil until it's perfect to fertilize. And if you miss that window, it's really bad. And for us that have all of these millions and millions of gallons of fertilizer that want to put on the ground, if we miss that window, we're in a lot of trouble. It costs a lot of money to have to put that stuff in a landfill, and it's a waste of perfectly good product. So I understand what happens when there's too much rain. The fields get too wet, and you can't get on the fields. So you got to have the right amount of rain. Then after it starts to grow, then we have to control the weeds so that the crops don't get choked out. Because they will, right? If you don't maintain that garden, you'll get different types of weeds that will just totally take over the crops and not let the crops grow. We also have to control the pests and the animals so that they don't ruin the crop. They don't come in and eat, right? It's bugs and worms and deer and, I don't know, rabbits in our yard. We have deer and rabbits, squirrels. Yeah, you name it. The pests are out there. We need to make sure that we protect them. And then finally, it's getting the harvest to market. And it's harvesting it when the time is right, so it doesn't, you know, it doesn't go bad while it's still in the field. And getting it, you know, getting it there safely, getting it to the market so you can sell it. So really what that verse is talking about is kind of a parable about our Christian walk. Right? We accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We're Christians, we're saved. That's the spring rains. The autumn rains or the fall rains is the second coming of Christ. It's when he returns to take us home, which is great. It's the final harvest, and how excited that we should be that's coming. And as Serena spoke earlier today, the signs of the times are here that's getting closer and closer and closer, but we read in the Bible where back in the biblical times when they were writing that scripture, they were saying the time is at hand, right? The time is near. So for thousands of years, it's still, Jesus has not had his second coming, but in a couple thousand years, certainly getting closer and closer and closer. But we, both us as the harvest, and the harvest that's around us, those around us that we should be reaching out to, now's the time to really prepare and be prepared for that harvest. I'm going to skip through pages and pages of notes here. So what does the Christian look like, and what does Christianity look like compared to that farming? What are the steps that we should or shouldn't do where we're preparing for that final day, for that second returning of Christ? And for that, I went to Colossians 3, and you can go to Colossians 3. And there's a lot of scripture here, and I am gonna read through it, and then we may talk through some of it as we go. But if you're at Colossians 3, say amen. The caption in my Bible said, "Living as those made alive in Christ." Starting with verse 1, it says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived," talking about the life prior to accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. "But now you must also rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips." Verse 8, I think, is a good one for us to all take inventory of. Actually, all of these, you know, 5, 6, 7, and 8, we should take inventory. 9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Verse 10, it says, "And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." So, you know, there, and I know several of you are new Christians, newly born again, and this scripture really isn't talking about you. You're in that first process, and I think back to when I didn't know the term born again. I didn't know what born again meant, and you know, to me when I was a kid, born again Christians were kind of these, I guess I'll just be real. They were like kind of weird or odd. You know, I grew up, as you know, or some of you know, I grew up in a Reformed church where, you know, we were very reverent, and born-again Christians were really excited, and born-again Christians were, you know, it just wasn't something that I experienced, and then I became born again, and it wasn't until I read in the Bible about being born again, I thought, well, that's what happened to me, and nobody really told me about that. But when it really kind of struck with me, I was at the races with my brother, and we were actually at Thunderbird in Kalamazoo and watching the races, and a car went off the went over the bank in the turn and ran into a truck in the infield, and the people that were standing on that truck, I could see them go flying. And instead of standing up and yelling and cussing, I stood up and I said, "Help them, Jesus." And my brother just looked at me, like, "Who are you?" And then I kind of looked at myself, and it's like, "Who am I? Where did that come from?" And again, as I learned and as I grew, I knew that there was a change, you know, a change happening in me internally because of God. I have to get back to my place. So we've put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. So that's what happens to us as new Christians. As you go after God's presence, after you read his word, as you pray, you, me, us, as we do those things, we are changed into the likeness of Christ. Verse 11, it says, "Where there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ in all, and it is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and clearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Now, it doesn't end there and say, when you first get saved. The intent is that we continue to do that as we go. Again, I'm stepping on my toes today, so if I get any ears, it's a bonus. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I think it wasn't that long ago, Pastor West preached a message and made it very clear to us that if we want to be forgiven, we have to forgive. And all over these virtues put on love, I'm sorry, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds all together in perfect unity, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. All right, and I made this statement earlier, and now I'm going to ask it again. Do you love me? Do you love Gary as I move forward here? Because now I'm going to start asking some questions, and I like the way Pastor West says sometimes that I may start meddling now. But not, because this isn't aimed at any specific person, and again, a lot of this has me in mind as well. So is it okay if I ask some questions? Yes? Well, you're all quiet. Because I'm gonna ask him even if you say no, but I'm glad that some of you want to hear the questions. The other thing I was going to start with, and I totally blew it. Who is willing? I know we're having the chili cook-off. It smells great. I was smelling chili cooking at home, and it smelled great, but is there anybody willing to give me a half hour to speak? Sure. Anybody willing? I got one. There's 30, 60, 90. No. Sorry. Just trying to lighten it up before we get really serious here. So the message that I started out talking about, how I was listening to this message while we were driving through Illinois, and part of the message that I really liked was when it talked about bringing things into the open. But then they started talking about how to bring those things into the open and talking about church and different churches and how talking about the people in the churches and behaviors of the Christians and you know what is acceptable behavior as a Christian. And that was a big thing. And for those of you, some of you have heard me share it before. You know, when I got saved, one of the things that I had told April when first I said something to the effect of, you know what, we really need to start going to church and because our kids need to grow up in church and I can see where, you know, that I think I could benefit from it. And we should just start going and we should go Sunday. But I'm not going to quit drinking, I'm not going to quit smoking, and I'm not going to give. And I kind of said it just like that. It's like, okay, I'll start going to church. But all the things that are like my normal lifestyle and the things that I did, I'm not giving that up. Well, God had different plans for that, and it happened because of spending time with him, and only because of that. So when we went through a few of those scriptures, and I said, this is a good place to examine ourselves, right? Really a good place to examine ourselves. And so I, in prayer this morning, started making a list of things where we all can examine ourselves. Now, some of these are definitely for me. Some of these are not for me. Some of these are things that have stuck with me a long time ago. So you can guess if you want which ones are which. But one of them is, instead of this bottle of water here, how many of you believe, you know, feel so strongly about drinking alcohol that you would say, hey, it would be just fine if Gary cracked a beer open while he was up here preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ instead of a bottle of water and drinking it. And I don't expect anybody to raise their hands. But I would like everybody to think about it. And I think about that. I mean, when I told you, you know, I made the decision that yeah, I'll go to church, but I'm not going to quit drinking. And I would drink until I would black out. I would drink until I had no idea how I got home. The last time I drank, I was wondering why I didn't die, and then wondering why I couldn't die, because I felt so bad. I couldn't breathe. I drank almost a fifth of dark rum and like 30 beers. I mean, I was, for any of you who have ever done anything remotely like that, I should have died. I should have died. But really, I mean, would that be the right church to go to if the pastor would walk around on stage with a beer and drink and say, hey, you know, cheers? Just a thought. Yeah, so what if I was drinking whatever you have in your refrigerator or cupboard preaching and gave you credit for me having it? What if we played the movie on the screen in church and made sure we let everybody know that it's the one you watched last night or Friday or this week? I remember as my 5-year-old son, when we had that, our moral temperature gauge that's back at the projector right now, said at 5 years old, well, if it's not okay for me to watch it, why is it okay for you to watch it? I don't think I need to say anything more about that. But maybe I will. So again, you know, No, you can think of what you watched, and is it appropriate to be on the screen up here saying, yes, that's my movie. I'm sharing with everybody here in the name of Jesus. All right. Here's one where I really got this. I will confess to this one, okay? Are the jokes you tell okay to tell in church? There will be times when I'm looking at things that people send me in Messenger or text me, or I just find because it's like a reel on Facebook, and I will just bust out laughing and sometimes laugh so hard that I cry. But you know what? I shouldn't share that in here, and I shouldn't share that with anybody else. Are they funny to me? Well, yeah, but they shouldn't be. Okay, so that's something I'm gonna watch. I'm not gonna share stuff like that, and I'm gonna tell people that share stuff with me like that. I don't need that junk in my life. I don't, because you know, again, one of the potential titles was garbage in, garbage out, and you are what you eat. And there is so much truth with that when it comes to our Christian walk. Garbage in, garbage out. You know, yeah. What if we showed your internet search history up on the screen? What if the conversations that you had with your friends were published and handed out to everyone here? You know, whatever they may be. Would you be okay with sharing your giving statement on the screen? Right? I mean, and you know, as the treasurer, you know, I have to. One of our goals at the business meeting every year is to continue to educate folks on principles of Christian principles of giving, and all the benefits associated with that, which there are many. Again, we would that be okay? And you may say, yeah, I'm not, you know what, I'm okay. I'm okay with that. I'm not there yet. Any of these things, you may not be there yet. But the bad part comes when we're in the process from the time that, you know, that we first became Christians and are going through that Christian walk, and we're letting these things back in, right? And that's where, I mean, I'll bring back the jokes again too. That's something that was gone a long time ago that I would have sworn at the time, you know, that I wasn't going to let anything like that back in. But it's crept back in, and it creeps in slowly. And we really do need to take inventory constantly. And that's the farmers, you know, making sure that the crops are maintained, making sure that the weeds are kept out so they don't choke us off, right? Making sure that the fertilizer is there, praying for the rain, but the right amount of rain and not too much rain. How does that translate into the Christian walk? It's coming to church. It's being part of the body of Christ. It's giving, it's praying, it's reading your Bibles, it's loving your neighbors. And I'm going to ask the praise team to come up now. And I'm taking a little different end on this message where, you know, normally, lately, I would tear all the scripture apart and tell you the meanings. Well, I can tell you, as I was reading through the scriptures that I shared, the meanings are pretty much the meanings. It's pretty well translated into the English language in the NIV from the original text. So there really wasn't much to break out. And so instead of the Gary-inspired version here at the end, I'm actually going to read Colossians 3 from the Message, which is very similar, right? It's been converted to basically our English language. So Colossians 3 in the Message, it says, "He is your life." So if you are serious about living this new resurrection life in Christ, act like it. Pursue the things which over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground. Absorb with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See the things from His perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ and God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you. The glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust. Doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by the things and feelings instead of by God. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better, but you now know better. So make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. And I'm going to stop there a minute before I finish, because one of the things I wanted to make sure that I shared was that if you really have never made the decision to follow Christ, if Christ has knocked at your door and said, "Hey, I'm here, accept me, become one of mine," and you've not done that, this isn't condemning you, right? When Jesus walked on earth, he didn't condemn the sinners. He would confront the sinners. He did not condemn them. He would confront them, and he would go and say, "Sin now, sin no more." But for those who were the religious people of the day, or the hypocrites, the pretenders, those are the ones, and those are the ones that the scripture is really pointing to. Moving on, it says, don't lie to one another. Again, don't pretend. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator. This is with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. All you have to do, if you've never said, "Christ, I need you. Jesus, I need you. I need you to be my Savior," now's a great time to do that. I've heard people say, "Oh, again, you know, the burning the hole in the pew when I sit there. You know, I just got a few things that I got to deal with. There's a few things I got to get cleaned up before I can go to Christ." That's not true. Right? My mom taught me that Jesus was a good fisherman. He caught his fish and then he cleaned them. Right? We don't normally, maybe you do, I don't, most people don't take a sponge bath before they get in the shower, or take a shower before they get in the bathtub, right? You don't have to get clean to get clean. You just have to get clean. And the way to get clean is, as a Christian, is to accept Christ and let Him in and pursue Him and pursue His things. One of the first things to pursue is, like I talked about, what we did in our lives. Start going to church. Find a church. You're welcome here. You're all welcome here. But find a church that believes in the Bible. Pray, read your Bible. Start in John. Don't start in Genesis. Start in John. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Josh. All right, so chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you: compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other, None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing with your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in this, in the name of the Master, Jesus. Thanking God the Father every step of the way. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, thank you for your presence again in this place. God, I thank you for giving clarity to each one of us, Lord, on the things that we should do, the direction that we should go. God, for anyone that still may be on the fence about making a decision to follow you, Lord, I pray that you would just send your conviction, God, and convince. Father, have your way in each one of our lives, in each one of our hearts, God, in each one of our minds. Father, I thank you that your peace, God, as we choose you and we choose the things of you, God, that your peace, Lord, would just consume us. Father, we love you. We thank you. We need you. In Jesus' name. So now the altars are open here. We're going to worship. I would ask that each one here, as I have done, ask God where, if anywhere, a change needs to take place. And then thank him for making that change in you. Again, knowing that in some cases, you know, we have to put action with our ask. Right? God is faithful. Absolutely faithful. But as the farmer, we can't just and shouldn't just wait for the rain. So as we worship, feel free to come up, bow before the altar. Our prayer partners will come up. If anyone needs prayer for anything, we believe that God answers prayer. If you decided today that today was a day that you wanted to make a commitment to Jesus, to ask him into your heart, tell the prayer partners. They'll pray for you. They'll continue to pray for you through the week. And again, you're always welcome here.